Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 191. So today I am joined by Shafi Abubakar of AsiaTel Outsourcing. Shafi is actually the group MD, CEO, and founder of Asia Telecom Holdings, which we'll learn all about in this episode and his journey. But effectively, AsiaTel Outsourcing is an outsourcing service provider here in the Philippines, which again, after hearing the progression of Shafi's own journey and story, that will bring that all into context. So I had a really good chat with Shafi. I'm sure you will learn a lot. If you want to get in touch with Shafi, or AsiaTel Outsourcing generally, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/191. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Shafi Abubakar of AsiaTel Outsourcing, which is a subsidiary, I believe, of Asia Telecom Holdings. Hi, Shafi. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Absolutely. Brilliant. And it's nice to have you on board. Shafi, I have got you on the podcast because you have an interesting organization that's been in the outsourcing space for a long, long time, one of the early entrants, and certainly from its roots in shared services for your own organization. So it's great to have you on the call. I suppose initially we are going to dig into the origins of your Asia Telecom Holdings, but initially would you like to just introduce yourself and I suppose how you came to start?
Well, thank you very much for having me with you. And just to give you a brief background, we started in the telecommunications field in 97 when the services were delicensed in Hong Kong and it was open to competition. And over the years, we built up a very good customer base, diversified, and we felt that as we grew, we needed to look at our cost structure, and we looked at the Philippines for our outsourcing operations. It gave us a very good cost structure, but a very efficient workforce with two language skills, Tagalog and English. And we, 12 years ago, we set up this center in Ortigas in Philippines. Mm-hmm. With the aim of supporting our own customers. And as we grew as a telecom company, we added more space in the Philippines. And today we are we have about 150 seats at this center, and we do two shifts here.
Right. And so it's an interesting story in that you, you were mentioning to me previously that AsiaTel Holdings started in Hong Kong in 97 as a result of the deregulation of the communications there. And it's interesting because, you know, the outsourcing hadn't really begun at that stage, but it was really the democratization of telecommunications, and as it became cheaper, that actually enabled for the first time ever the outsourcing, certainly staff outsourcing services to really begin. So it was around that time that telecommunications became cheaper and more affordable to do things internationally. So your original company was a telecommunications company in Hong Kong?
Yeah. We were what we call international service-based operators. So we offered international long-distance dialing services and value-added services, such as internet faxing, etc., which was quite new at that time, or quite unique, I would say.
Yeah, quite sort of cutting-edge technological stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And then you said, was it about 12 years ago, that you had obviously a lot of customer service needs. Your home markets were Hong Kong, is that right? And maybe Singapore. You had customer service needs, though, so you came over to the Philippines to fulfill those.
Yeah, actually, we grew. So we started in Hong Kong, but then we got licensed in Singapore, and then after that, we got licensed in Taiwan. And over the years, the customer base grew in from the consumer side into many ethnic communities. So we had a good number of Indonesian customers and Filipino customers, and having a center in Manila made and in Jakarta in Surabaya, where we had our Indonesian center, made a lot of sense because A, we did a lot of cost savings, but we got the language skills along with it, and then the technical skills. So one part of our telecommunication business, we expanded into what we would say wholesale carrier traffic exchange, which means that major carriers were exchanging traffic with us. And to support that, we put our whole NOC, back office NOC, and then it became our primary NOC in the Philippines, where there is excellent technical skills to support such enterprises and such work.
So you were actually kind of running the show from the Philippines, because people think a lot of outsourcing is about, offloading the very basic functions. But you found after a number of years that actually you could run very complex operations from the Philippines.
Yeah, but we still are based, we are still based in Hong Kong, and I'm still myself based in Hong Kong. But you can consider that this satellite office, which we thought would be satellite office, also becomes a operational center on its own and can run very efficiently from as an outsource center. Even you don't need to move your whole operations to.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did you start outsourcing to the Philippines? You started the company in 97. When did you start the outsourcing
Been
process?
12 years ago, so I would say in 2006, roughly,
Right. Okay.
came
And
here.
what was the progression? So you then went into the sort of higher operational functions quite soon after, or was it a couple of years after?
No, so over the years, we gradually added more and more of the services here, and we consolidated in terms of our own requirement initially, and then as we found that this was quite an efficient operation to share with people who had the similar views on outsourcing, we then offered it to companies who wanted a very friendly and what we would say efficient atmosphere to be able to handle their work intelligently without having to be here full time all the time.
So that's quite common how we see a lot of BPOs starting, especially with sort of entrepreneurial foundations, is that the shared services or outsourcing is established initially to scratch your own itch, and then you expand the services and offer them externally. When did you start offering your outsourcing services externally then?
We felt the market a few years back, so I would say 3 years back we started looking into it. But I would say last 15 months we are putting more what we call efforts into the outsourcing,
Right. And
and we are looking to add more seats and add more capacity here. But also we are focusing more on very what we call unique services here, like creative. Design outsourcing, NOC support specifically targeted at specific industries like the telecom industry, like these SMS industries. So we
And
are building
what
up
is
those
NOC?
skills.
I don't know that term.
Network Operation Center.
Ah, I see. I
So,
see.
the whole, like every telco will have their own network operation center. So, a telco like us, we have an NOC in Hong Kong and we have an NOC in the Philippines now. So, the Hong Kong is just started with 15 manpower. Now it's only four, and Philippines has become 30.
And
So,
it
the
makes
growth,
sense,
it
doesn't
gives
it?
a good scale to grow. But what's very interesting, you should know, is the talent. The talent here is fabulous.
And how does because typically I suppose consumer is in what you would say the West, so kind of anglicized English speaking US and UK and Europe. How do you find the outsourcing fits in and gels with Asia generally? Because there's obviously, there are quite significant cultural differences. There's language barriers. Or is everything now becoming just standardized towards the English kind of norm?
I think it's getting more and more standardized. And with the industry now quite mature over the years, they have adapted to the needs of these markets. So Australia will have a certain different needs. US and Canada will have a different need. But basic ability to serve is common.
And they really do have that that skill base, don't they? The Filipinos, they have great communication skills, great empathy skills. And
absolutely.
And yeah. So can you remember back to when you were first exploring outsourcing? What was the initial trigger? You needed customer service, you needed a lot of kind of man hours to cover the NOC requirements. What made you explore the Philippines? And then also, what were your first impressions when you did look at the services on offer?
So firstly, it was quite unique for us to move out. It was like I had to convince my tech managers, everyone, that yeah, we should give it a chance because, as you know, it's a new adventure for us at that time.
And that was a long time ago. Outsourcing is a big thing now, but it's not
very popular at that time.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have more manpower to support our growth, but we still wanted to consider that they had the skills as well as it was cost effective. So that is one of the reasons we looked at Philippines. English was a language which was well spoken here, and we had some Filipino customer base, so we could serve them together, as well as we wanted technical skills, which we found here there was plenty around with reasonable cost. And those three factors made us move here, but it was a very, what we call, walking into the blind move. So we took a small step here and we felt very comfortable after the first 6 months. And we said, yeah, now I think we are in the right location to grow.
Yeah, and this is what I tell a lot of people. There's a lot of uncertainty about outsourcing, isn't there? You know, and especially people sitting in the US or UK, because it's such a long way away. They see that it's a developing country. They might see a bit of political instability. And there's all of these sort of uncertainties and fear factors that just stop people from starting. And maybe as you did, it's a good idea just to basically test the waters, test something, and kind of get comfortable with it for 3 to 6 months and then review things, yeah?
Yeah, actually, that's what, now that we are offering outsourcing to other companies, we have, having been through the stage ourselves, we have the feel that what the client would need. And one of our objectives here has been to train our team and members to ensure that the client feels at home. They feel like they belong. This is they and their team feel that this is their office, this is their operation. It's not an outsourced place. So it becomes like they don't know the difference. We want to create that atmosphere.
And then
once the client comes here, he's comfortable. The ones we've had so far, I mean, they don't want to. They always say that we didn't realize it would be like this.
Right. And then you have, you know, you've got a stellar corporate background in telecoms, you know, in commerce generally, and then in your shared services, kind of businesses in your blood. But how is it different outsourcing for your own needs and figuring out your own business problems, as opposed to then taking on outsourcing clients and coaching them through that journey? Is it same, or is it quite different?
It's different. I can say that because when it's yours, you've set your own standards and you monitor it through your own views and standards. But when you're doing it for others, you have to adapt and make your team adapt to their requirements. And that is quite challenging, but also very rewarding once you achieve that.
Mm. Why is it challenging? Because the managing expectations, the managing outputs in relation to kind of expected deliverables, where do you see the difficulties?
The challenge is to get the team to adapt to the change. I think that is the biggest challenge. Because when you're doing it in-house, a lot of it, what we call is a comfortable level of performance. When you're doing outsourcing at the beginning, the team gets nervous, they get a little bit into unfamiliar territory, and then the clients, the nature of the client, the person who's handling it on the other side, adapting to their psychology, their needs. It's a training process. It's not something unsurmountable, but each client has a different requirement and a different chemistry, let's put it that way, which needs to be adapted. And that's where the strength of an outsourcing company is best seen.
And again, this is what I tell people, like they're not just buying an activity or you know, a seat with a person in it. They're actually buying into all of your own commercial experience, your own 12 years experience of running shared services and kind of efficient operations and processes. There's a huge amount of expertise that people actually buy into when they're, yeah, when they're partnering, you know, with an operation. Yeah.
I agree with you. There is an attrition, high rate of attrition in call centers. But I tell you, we started with 12 people. Out of the 12, 8 are still with us.
Wow.
And 4 have migrated overseas.
Right. Wow.
So the ability to keep people in that frame, in this environment, requires that you make them feel comfortable, you make them feel that they belong, and then they serve not only you, but whoever you bring, they serve with their hearts. And I think Philippine has that capability.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can be quite a sensitive workforce, can't they? So you do need to make sure that there's a good culture there. There's a kind of mission that everyone buys into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every genuine businesses which outsource, they will always be looking at the ability of the people who serve them, how you manage them, what is their behavior, what is their integrity, etc. And that's where we are very particular in our office here, to create that feeling of A, belonging, and secondly, the integrity of the operation, maintaining the integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you find finding your human resource? You have a recruitment process in place, you have all of the screening, because that's a job in itself, isn't it,
to actually... Yeah, we have a full team here. I think Andy, who handles the operation and business development at the center here, will give you more information on how we do the HR and screening of the members. But it's quite an intensive process and very selective.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. So thank you so much for your time anyway. I want to get Andy back, who is the Vice President for Asia Teleservices, to actually specifically discuss more about the operation. So we will do that. But thank you so much for your time, Sheffy. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you or learn any more about AsiaTel outsourcing, how can they do that?
They can reach us through our website, which is asiatelloutsourcing.com.hk. Yeah. asiatelloutsourcing.com.
Fantastic.
And they will be able to get quite a bit of information from there. At the same time, they will be able to reach us, and we can take it forward from there.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. We'll have all of those contact details in the show notes. Thank you so much, Sheffy.
Derek, a pleasure, and thank you once again.
Absolutely. That was Sheffy Abubakar, the MD and CEO of Asia Telecom Holdings. If you want to get in touch with Sheffy or want to know any more about AsiaTel outsourcing specifically, then go to our show notes for all of the contact details. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/191. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us or ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.